Okay, let's get our Bibles out, brothers and sisters, as we continue in our discipleship training. Anybody here still want to be a disciple? It takes work. How many understand? It's taking work, right? It takes work. The fact is, sometimes in our discipleship, a lot of us take a couple steps forward, and then what, Karen?
Back.
And some take more than a step back sometimes, too, right, Jimmy? Sometimes like 5 steps back. But discipleship takes work. It takes work. And we're going to continue in our discipleship training, and we're working on the physicality of discipleship. And I told you last week, you need to be active. You need to be active. You cannot just sit back on your laurels, which is also known as, see my laurels, laurels, right? You can't sit back. That's what it's called. You can't sit, you got to get up. It's like what Yoshika was talking about with the free market. You said almost everybody in this whole church was involved, right? And look what happened. 300 people? 300, imagine that, 300 people. That's crazy. There's only like 50 of us, 300 of them. That's crazy. That's unbelievable. Thank God for the small act of church. But not only do we need to be active in our spirituality, in our bodies, we need to be actively engaged in our minds. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I mean, how many of you know sometimes your thoughts just get all messed up? I mean, don't think your thoughts just get all messed up. And I told you a couple of times before, a lot of us have a case, and I told you about stinking thinking. Who has stinking thinking sometimes? Stinking thinking. Oh, my gosh. Where do these things come from? I mean, how many just drive down the road and there's a thought and you're going, what am I? You know, you could be thinking about how nice the leaves are and all of a sudden, boom, there that thought is again. How many have the thought? The thought. How many have like the thought that just haunts you? Just, oh, I just got to get rid of this. It's in there, right? And just to show everyone here that you're not alone, because there could be somebody here thinking, my gosh, I'm the only one that ever gets these kind of stupid thoughts in my brain. I'm the only one. If you ever get stupid thoughts in your brain, stand up. Okay, now I want everybody to look around. Look around. Look. It's pretty universal, right? Who gets stupid thoughts? Everybody gets stupid thoughts. Now sit back down, all you stupid thinkers. And it's just the way that it is. It's the way that it is. And so we have to be able to come to grips with this as a disciple. Now what I mean by that is this. We clearly know that in discipleship we have to conquer the flesh. How many understand that? I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, discipleship, a lot of people says, well, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is what? And so we know that we have to conquer the flesh. We know that. But that's one component of a 3-component system. I told you before, and I need to tell you now again. We're created in the image, God bless you, Whitey. We're created in the image of God. Now, that does not mean we look like him. Because that's not what that means. But clearly it says we're created in his image, right? It says that. In Genesis chapter 1, it clearly says, God says to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let us create what? Man and woman in our image and in our likeness. That's what he said. And then he said in his scripture, so then he created them, male and female, in his image and in his likeness. Does that mean we look like God? And the obvious answer is what? No. But we're created in his image. We don't look like him, created in his image. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I know a lot of people say, well, he loves, so therefore we can love, and he is angry, therefore we can be angry. And that's true, but let's see if we can't put it in a nutshell. God is a trinity. Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How many knew that? That's God in 3 persons, called the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we are also a Trinity. We are Trinitarian creation. Unlike all other creations in the world, of any, like little puppy dogs and little kitty cats, they're not created a Trinity. We're created a Trinity. We have what? Body. That's the one, first one. Mind. And spirit or soul. Okay? Body. How many know you have a body? Body, right? Mind. Spirit. Body, mind, and spirit. We know that in discipleship we need to control what? The body. We know that. But we also have got to control the mind. And the mind is the seat of our emotions. How many understand that too? The mind is a seat of our emotions. And every one of us have thoughts. If you were not thinking, you would not be human. We all have thoughts. True? If you didn't have thoughts, you would not be human. I can assure you that a dog is not concerned about what it's going to eat today. Well, he knows you're going to feed him. He's not worried about, you know, things like, you know, who's going to be president. And he's not worried about those things. We worry about those things. A dog does not think, you know, 10 years in the future. We do. A dog's not concerned about retirement. We are. And so because we're human, we have this thought process. And most of the thought processes that we have are pretty benign. They, you know, go along pretty cool. But every so often, we have those thoughts that just surface. How many understand that? And there they are. And it's not the normal everyday thought processes that bother us. It's those other ones that bother us. It's like, where did that come from? How many understand that? And what happens with those thoughts, and we're going to talk about this, is we go into a stage called rumination. Rumination. And rumination means we dwell on them. We dwell on them. How many ever dwell on a thought? Right? It's called rumination. And the more we ruminate, the more we think about it, does the problem or thought get smaller or bigger? It gets bigger. And so the more we think about it, the more we dwell on it, the more we give it credence, the bigger or the smaller it gets. Bigger, right? Now we give a lot of credence to the thoughts that are completely bizarre than we do to the ones that should be giving it to, right? Like, I don't get a morning dwell on how much I love my wife. I know that, but if I get a little thing on my little pulse go like this, I go, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And the bigger you think about it, the more credence that you give it, the more credence that you give it, the more important your mind believes it to be. How many know your minds are your worst enemies? They are. And so what we have to think about is this. Every one of us has suppositions. You know what a supposition is? A supposition is a deeply held thought or belief. And we have them. Here's a supposition that a lot of people believe. For example, when you become a Christian. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, all of my problems are going to go away. But that is a supposition. And we, in fact, is sometimes we as, you know, born again, Bible thumping, scripture quoting, you know, Bible toting, sanctified, blood bought. We unfortunately sometimes give that appearance to somebody, you know, they're in a problem. We say, oh, you know, you accept Jesus Christ, he's going to help you, can do all things. That's true. That's true. But the supposition that everything's going to be easy street is wrong. It's wrong. Right? But one of the passages of scripture that we like to quote for somebody that's in a lot of trouble is Jeremiah 29:11. Fact is, many of you probably could quote this off the top of your head. Jeremiah 29:11, right? And we love to throw that one out. For I know the plans I have for plans to offer you a future. Plans to do you good. Plans to give you hope. And we love to quote that passage of scripture. And we never quote all of it. Just that part. Just that middle part. How many know that passage of scripture? I know the plans I have for you. Thus saith the Lord. Plans to do you good. Plans to offer your future with hope. And we like to quote that. But what we didn't do it correctly is that there's another whole part of that that we should quote. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. And we're going to read it in context. We're going to read it in context. We're going to go to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to read it in context, which is verse 1 to 14. Now, it's pretty lengthy, and I'm going to have Mickey read it, so in case you can't find it, she's going to read it to you, and I'm going to do an exposition on it.
Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive. To the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah, and the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased here and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. In its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years you are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive.
I know the plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. Plans to do you good. Plans to offer you a future with hope. Plans to exile you. What about that? I mean, in this passage of Scripture, something's going on. You see, we see that Nebuchadnezzar has taken the Israelites and he's made them captive in Babylon. And a false prophet comes along and says, don't worry about that. There's a false prophet that says, 2 years, you'll be out of here. And you know what the Lord caused a false prophet to have happened to him? He died because it was a lie. You see, you read that passage of Scripture and it says that Nebuchadnezzar took the Israelites captive for 70 years. But you look a little further down in the passage of Scripture and check it out, brothers and sisters. Verse 4, Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused. Whom I have caused, what? To be carried away. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You see, in this passage of Scripture, God's hand was in the captivity. God's hand was in the exile. God's hand was in there. Oh, thus saith the Lord. We like that saith the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. But we should have threw that other one out there. Thus saith the Lord. I was the one whose hand was in it when you were taken captive too. Hey, that's something. Wow. See, I didn't think about that. You see, I want to be delivered from my problem, and I want God to deliver me, but what if his hand was in the problem? What if his hand was all over that? Ain't that something? I mean, could it be that where you are in your life is exactly where God wants you? I mean, is that possible? I mean, is it possible that wherever you are in the circumstances you find yourself in, that God's hand is all over that? Now, it is obviously possible that through choices that you have made, you may wind up where you are too. But isn't it also possible that God's hand is all over the situation? It is possible. And this passage of Scripture says, the Lord says, it is me who brought you captive. And it says, after how many years? Let's read that again and make sure we're reading the same thing. Look at that says. After how many years did he say he's going to bring him back? It says in there, 70 years. 70 years. Look at verse 10. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon. What's that mean? He means he's got a plan. He's got a plan for them where? In Babylon. And after the work is done, after the 70 years is done, and then I'll what? Bring you back. But what is his instruction? What is his instruction to the people that are held captive? Go in the corner and whine for 70 years? How many of you are expert whiners? You could do it. Ryan, you could do that? Ryan said, I could do it. How many expert whiners could whine for 70 years? You know, just, you know, go pull. Mark, really? Deacon, Deacon Mike, you could do it. Elder Mike, you could. How many other whiners we got in this room? So let me ask you, we got a lot of people going in. So let me ask you, how's that working out for you? I mean, how's that working out for you? You see, part of discipleship is awareness. You want to write that down. It's awareness of your circumstances. Now, see, you might have been thinking, I was thinking about your awareness of your captivity. Oh, no. I'm talking about your awareness while you're in it. I'm talking about your awareness when you're in it. I want to teach you a very important word. It starts with the letter A. We call it acceptance. In fact, there's a psychological model. You probably didn't notice. How many went to therapy? I went to therapy. Okay, you go to therapy, and they have this model, you know, how they talk to you. You know the working at you, right? You know, it's called ACTS, A-C-T-S. You know what that stands for? ACTS. You know what it's called for? Acceptance of your circumstances and commitment. Acceptance and commitment to therapy. Which means that you become aware of your circumstances, you accept it, and then what? Do something about it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty good stuff. And in this passage of Scripture, God says, look, you're going to be there for a long time. So what does he say? What is his instructions? His instructions is for these individuals. And let's take a look at it. Look at it. It says in verse 5, Jeremiah 29, verse 5, he says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat from their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. So what is he saying to do while they're in captive? Quit living? Just the what? Opposite. It's just the opposite. He says, while you're in captivity, what I want you to do is to what? Continue to live. Life's not over. Continue to live. You need to continue to grow. You need to continue to increase. You need to continue to get on with your life. Why? And we have an option. We can just go in the corner and do what? Whine. But that's not the plan. The plan is, according to Jeremiah, the prophet of God, he says that in your captivity, you should what? Build your houses. But I want to build my house. You don't understand. I don't want to build a house. No. No, no, no. Hold on. Well, how is that working out for you? I mean, how is that working out for you? 70 years of holding your breath is a long time. Build your houses and live in them. Plant your garden. No, I don't want to plant my garden. No. Nothing probably grow there anyhow. Well, how do you know you haven't done? Because I just know. Plant your gardens and eat from them. Marry. No, I don't want to get married. No. I'd rather be myself. Really? Marry, have children, give your children's children in marriage. Continue to have your life and multiply. But why? Look at the passage of Scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 5. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it is in its peace that you will find peace. Ain't that something? In its peace is what? Where your peace will be found. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And so what is that all saying to us? Everybody starts to think stupid things. How many think stupid things? So guess what you should do about it? Accept it. Who cares? It's just a thought. It's not an action. It's just a thought. Who thinks stupid things? We all do. So what? So what? Hakuna Matata. That should be in Scripture, but it's not. It should be. It's. Sissy's here, so I can't tell you it's in it because she'll correct me. Hakuna Matata. And that's from the Lion King, right? Just whatever. So when we start to think these things, which who thinks? Everybody. Everybody. Who all thinks things? Everybody. Universal. Universal. We have two choices. Ruminate and dwell on those thoughts. Ruminate and dwell on those thoughts. Or the second option is what? Accept it. Whatever. So what? And get on with what? Your life. Because in the rebuilding of our lives, in the rebuilding and focusing of our lives, to plant our gardens, to build our houses, to have children and have our children's children, to grow in our faith is where we will find what? Peace. How many of you find peace thinking about your thoughts all day long? I'm being so serious. How many of you find peace thinking about the things you think about? How's that working out? It isn't, is it? And so what we have to learn to do, according to the passage of Scripture, is our situation that when sometimes we can just pine away our lives. How many could pine away your life? If you could just do it, right? Oh, my life, if only I could have been, if only I should have done, if only I didn't do. We can just think about all these things. But today is what? November the 11th, and guess what? You're not getting any of them days back. They are gone. The train done left the station. How many of you are on the downside of the roller coaster riding towards the barn? I am. Eric, you raise your hand.
He did. Little did he know, he was right.
Woo! Take that thought quickly and get rid of it. And we can't get any of that life back. Turn in your Bibles, please. John 16, verses 31 to 33.
Do you now believe? Jesus replied. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
In this world, you will have what? Yep. How many know he was right? In this world, we will have trouble. But see, we quote that one, but we don't quote the first part of that. We don't quote the first part. John 16, do you believe? Jesus replied, a time has come, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is in me. I have told you these things so that my peace will be in you. His peace, Jesus Christ said in John 14, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. But I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your heart be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. How many times have we went to somebody and said to them, I got this major problem and I don't know what to do about it. What do you think I should do about it? And isn't that we shouldn't help one another? But look what it says in Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. How many of us, have a dream and go to somebody and say, I had this dream, what do you think? Really? You really think somebody knows what your dream means? Really? Do you think that? It says don't do that. Or, how many of us, do the horoscope kind of thingy? Is that horoscope thing correct? Well, mine was, because I was going to marry a beautiful wife. Hey, says, yeah, I said something good. There are people who live by horoscopes. Did you know that? They live by astrology. Really? Live by astrology? Really? How many are living by God's word would be a better choice? Wouldn't it? I mean, living by his word would be a better choice. You know, I know people that, you know, they can't wait till the Sunday paper comes out. Is that when that astronomy things and astrology things in the Sunday paper, is that when that thing comes out? Is that Sunday morning? I don't even know. You know? Is it every day? How do you know that, Karen? Oh, crossroads. Okay. Just, you know what? If we get into God's word every day and stay out of the astrology column, we might be better off. Right? We might be better off. And so Scripture says, look at that passage of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:9. For the prophecy falsely to you in my name, I have not sent them. Thus saith the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the plans. You see that? What was his plans? Exile. For how long? 70 years. 70 years. That's the plan. That's the plan. I know the plans I have for you. You're going to be exiled for 70 years. You know what that means? In a place that you don't want to be. In a place that you don't want to be. How many times have we whined about our jobs? Really? I hate my job. I hate everything about my job. I hate that most of those people are still breathing. This is how bad I hate this job. And so what happens is, what are we supposed to do with our jobs? Quit whining. And start what? Grow. You got to grow. Plant your gardens. Build your houses. That's what we're supposed to do. And we get a cliche from that is what? Bloom where you're. Because in there is where we find our peace. Well, how can that be? How can I find peace in my bad circumstances? How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, how is it possible to find peace when you're worried about everything all the time, too? I mean, how many can find peace in your worry? You can't find peace in your worry, can you? No. No. And so what we have to learn to do is to do this. For disciples is to learn some things about our own spiritual wellness. Is this. You know what? Most of the things I worry about have never come to pass. Ever. How many know if you really get really sick, there's only two outcomes and both are good? No, wait a second. No, wait a minute now. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express. So I want to let you know now, if you get really, really sick, there's only two outcomes and both are good. If you get really, really sick, you're going to get better. That's outcome number one. And that's really good. If you're really, really sick, you don't get better and you die, you go to heaven. That's really good. So either way, it's good. How many understand that? And so this is what you have to start thinking to yourself. Wait a second, I only got two outcomes. I get better or I get better. Either one is good, right? Either one is good. And so what we have to learn to think about is things is don't think about things. Let it go. It's no big deal. How many know we had a lecture on a Tuesday, but God's still in charge? He is still in charge, isn't he? And so what we got to start thinking to ourselves is, you know, my mind, these thoughts that I get in my mind, I have to learn to take them captive and say unto myself, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Whatever. A thought can come in, a thought can go out, and I really just don't care. How many can learn to do that? To accept it and simply say, this is where I am for today. If I get anxiety, whatever. This is where I am today. If I get a little depressed, whatever. How many's ever been depressed? How many are no longer depressed? So you can get out of it, right? It comes and what? It goes. How many's ever been anxious? How many's not anxious today? It comes, Jimmy, and it goes. What we concentrate on is the coming part and not in the going part, right? How many survived anxiety when you had it? There you go. How many, you know, got through a depression okay? We did it. And so what we have to understand is that no matter where we are, the best thing for us to do in our circumstances as disciples is to what? Don't worry about it. What should we do? Build our houses. Plant our gardens. And you know, when you get off of your own thought processes and you get on to somebody else, guess what? How many of you know you feel a lot better? When you're doing for somebody else, are you really worried about you? Not really. And so what should we do? Build our houses. Plant our gardens. Just continue on with life. How many of you brothers and sisters have ever had a really bad case of stinking? Like, you know, from like 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock, that's all you had from 9 to 12 is stinking. Oh my gosh. And then the phone rang and you got all, you know, off that topic onto something else. How many of you know that you didn't have one stinking thought while you was on the phone talking to somebody else? Is that true? I can guarantee you, if you have a case of real anxiety, call Sears for some kind of repair job or something. or call Microsoft and try to find something you can understand. I'm so serious. How many of you know that when you're like really, really in a big tither, get on the phone with somebody you can understand what they're talking about some technical kind of thing. How many know you're not thinking about, you might want to shoot yourself when you're done, but other than that, it's true. It is so true. Because your mind is not consumed on what? On you. It's not confined on you. Let's turn to our scriptures, please. We'll do one more. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Yeah, we need to take care of today. How many people do you think ever experienced grief? Karen? Everyone. It's not new to you. Who do you think ever experienced sadness? Everyone. Who experiences pain? Everyone. Isn't that true? Everyone experiences grief at some point in their life. Is that not a fair statement, Whitey? Sadness. That's true, right, Butch? Everybody experiences these things, right, Sue? Everybody experiences these things. Sadness, and how many ever get disappointment, you think? Everyone. True. And so everyone has the tendency to feel those things. Sadness and mourning and grief and pain and disappointment. How about frustration? Who gets frustration? Everyone. True. But who do you think experiences joy? Well, you want to say everyone, right? That's what you want to say. You want to say everyone. But I would tell you that there are people that have joyful moments, but I'll also tell you there are people who do not have joyful lives. Is that fair? And you know why? Because what happens is in our sadness, and our mourning, and our grief, and our frustration, and our anger, and our bitterness, and our pain, some people just what? Stay there. Life is just so terrible. Really? Really? Life is that terrible? Really? And what we got to learn to do is become aware of our blessings. How many have blessings in this room? Awareness of our blessings. We need to become more aware of those things than the other things. And so when we fill our mind with thoughts, think about your blessings. Think about all that life has to offer you. How many are thankful you're breathing today? I'm serious. I mean, breathing today? For I know the plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. If you're in captivity today, in sadness or disappointment or frustrating or whatever, know God's there too. And what does God say to you in your captivity? Sit and just wallow away the hours in misery? Is that what he tells you to do, Yoshiko? No. What does he say to do, Sissy? Build your houses. Plant your gardens, right, Sue? Give your kids in marriage. Go get some grandkids. Go have some fun. And when it's over, God will bring you back to where you want to be. And in summary for this message today is, what is over? When it is completed. What? What completed? God says, when it's completed, what? His purpose. For who? For you and for others. Is it possible that God can use you through your suffering? I'll tell you a real short story here as we get ready for our offering. I know a person, you know, that needed to have a possible surgical experience because they had a tumor. And lo and behold, this guy got a phone call from somebody that he knew and said, "Hey, can I have lunch with you?" And the person said, "Yeah, sure." And don't you know that the same person who was going to have lunch with that guy had the same surgical experience with the same doctor in the same hospital? Same thing. Is that possible that God could use the first guy's experience to minister to the second guy's experience? Well, okay, then quit whining. What should we do? Build our houses, plant our gardens, and go have fun. Father God, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. May you write it on our hearts, and all of God's people said.